Live from an undisclosed location somewhere in the greater North Americas, it's time for Gotta Say It with Dr. Marvin Williams and Matt Ryan. The only sports show that goes around the stats, cause stats are boring. And now, your host, Dr. Marvin Williams and Matt Ryan.
And welcome to Gotta Say It Radio, along with Matthew Aloysius, Octavius Owenthal, Gerard Ryan, the third, the half, and the 14th, and the fixed 16th, and a half, and third.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm the other guy. Not Matthew Aloysius, Octavius Owenthal, Ryan, the 13th, the half, and fourth, and the fifth. Marvin Williams is with my name.
Yes.
There you go.
We've been doing this for what, 4 years now? Three years?
Since 1847.
Yes, when Albert Pujols hit us with the fastball.
Yeah, in the Negro Leagues. And one of the things that we did while we were in the Negro Leagues, Matthew and I, was talk about the New York Islanders moving to Brooklyn, strangely enough.
Yes. We had then. Such foresight back then.
Didn't we, though? Man, I should have bought into Google when I did. So, or Apple, or both. So, here you go. The New York Islanders apparently not going to move out of the arena on Long Island a year sooner because apparently they can't afford it, whatever this means. So I guess after next year, they'll move to Brooklyn. A lot of the jury's still out. We'll see what's going to happen. But here's why that move would be great for the Islanders, horrible for Long Island, and who really cares about hockey? All at the same time. The New York Islanders have a hard time selling out the arena they're in as currently constituted in Long Island because, quite frankly, when you go out to Nassau County Coliseum Arena and dialysis, whatever they do there.
And the Marriott.
And the Marriott, which is awesome. You have nothing else to do. So you go there for hockey. And Matthew and I, when we were jogging today or on the treadmill today, we were talking about how you have fans who don't go to sports for sports anymore. Well, we were really walking across the landscape of Tiberia, which is where we are right now. And we were talking about how the real fan goes to a game, goes to a match for the game, for the match. Now, a lot of people aren't trained that way anymore. Wow, there's so many distractions. You go to parks because it's like being at a mall. And when you go out to the Mall of Long Island to see the Islanders play, you only have the Islanders. And the fact that they're not good doesn't help, or they weren't good doesn't help. So you get a chance to go see bad hockey with nothing to do.
And the problem with that is I used to go to school right across the street from the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
At Hofstra!
Don't get me started. but going to the Nassau Coliseum is nearly impossible for someone who doesn't have a car.
Right.
They put it right in the middle of the Nassau of the Nassau Parkway or the Long Island Expressway, one of the two.
Meadowbrook, yeah. And the Jericho Turnpike.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a turnoff on a highway for pretty much everyone that's not on Long Island.
Right.
The closest public transportation is either the NICE bus that really doesn't stop along the strip. It stops far away.
At the museums.
Yeah.
Right. Stops at the museums, which is...
And just right along Hofstra, but you still have to cross the highway.
Which is always safe, kids.
Yeah. And if not, you have to take the Long Island Railroad to Hempstead. And anybody that knows Hempstead knows you don't take the train to Hempstead past 7 p.m.
Don't ever go to Tijuana. So
pretty much. and they've been befallen, screwed over. That franchise has been castigated for the better part of two decades.
How many Stanley Cup championships?
Four.
Four in a row. She who was brilliant and beautiful.
Don't get me started.
She was brilliant and beautiful. Her favorite hockey franchise is the New York Islanders. And we've lauded on this show her ability to take poor interns from the New York Islanders and turned them into crying little weepy mushy babies who have to go to therapy because she heard they were going to move to Kansas City and decided to let them know how she really felt. And,
really?
And she lost her mind in the middle of the mall. And this poor guy who was just trying to give out tickets and T-shirts to get people to buy bus season tickets. You're not even going to be here. How dare you sell tickets? Why are you beep, 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 beep?
And, you know, I love who she is. She is brilliant and beautiful.
Isn't she? So the idea of this franchise now, with 4 Stanley Cup,
it's kind of held its fan base hostage for the better part of the last decade.
That's such an ugly word, and it's so true, because they have nothing else to do.
And it's not even that. They were held hostage by a myriad of people.
It's like that was being, you want to hold somebody hostage, become the Islanders owner.
If you rooted for the New York Islanders, you are basically buying a co-op in a hostage-taking scheme. Because it's either the ownership that doesn't care about the franchise.
Right.
The county that is trying to subsidize everything around it and revitalize the area. I'd like to see you continue your revitalization there, Madam Nassau County, whatever you are, Hempstead Town Supervisor, Kate Murray. I don't like her.
I just...
Long Island politics is the worst thing on the planet.
It's ugly. Why? Because you're talking about a bunch of people for a long, and what is going to come up? Because we have a lot of listeners in Long Island, so forgive the way this is going to come out. But unfortunately, the people who control, I won't say the purse strings, I'll say the social and political strings of Long Island, are people who for so long are on Long Island because they can have their own little fiefdoms, their own little things going away from
it's Tammany
big,
Hall,
the big ugly Manhattan, the big ugly New York. We're not that. We're rural. We have farms, we have this, we have that, and we're our own thing.
It's Tammany Hall and a Levitt House.
So you have this incredible tie-up of a professional franchise, 2 professional franchises out there. The Long Island Ducks. Hello?
Yeah.
You know?
But they're in Suffolk County, so that's a completely different rigmarole.
That's true. You know, people don't know how to read. And okay, there goes the needle down there in Long Island. But the idea of the Islanders, removing them from this situation is good for them. They're going to be in the middle of Brooklyn. There's so many things going on around the Barclays. You're going to have the attention. Hockey is going to get exciting in Brooklyn. Now, that's not going to translate to the NHL.
No.
Because the guy, I can't think of his name because he's on the list, who runs the NHL, is not going to be able to capitalize on one of the hippest markets in the universe. And I told you, I watched the New Orleans Brass when they came to New Orleans.
We talked about this in our NHL episode a couple weeks ago.
And those Russian kids hanging out in the projects with all these young black kids, giving them hockey sticks, showing them how to play, showing them how to skate. You could not get into the arena. Now, can you imagine half of that energy being put into the Islanders in Brooklyn, how awesome it would be there.
Oh, and Brooklyn is a massive city. It is its own city. It's its own
borough.
It's its own culture. It's its own universe. And if you could tap into that market, you will get people.
And look at what you would have at the exact same time. The Nets and the Islanders in the same arena. Same audience.
If Mikhail Prokhorov doesn't buy that team within 8 years, I'm going to be plumb surprised. I'll be legitimately surprised if he doesn't buy that team.
I give him 2.
Give him 2?
I give him 2. Over under 3. Yeah. But I give him 2.
I'm just setting the barometer right, because that team has all the, and this is coming from a diehard Ranger fan,
mm-hmm,
who, not outside of being a Ranger fan, I have my own long, conflicting and confusing story with the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
But that team has a lot of good going for them.
They do.
And there's just, Charles Wong is the perfect owner for Gary Bettman's NHL.
Wow. You know what? For those who don't know, if you do not follow hockey, that's like saying Person X is Hannibal Lecter's perfect teaching assistant. I mean, I'm no, that's another way to say it. It's like that's really ugly, because
and I have respect for everybody who works for the Islanders. You know, I know people who work there, and
of course we do.
I just They...
Do you feel, and I think I know the answer for this, I'd love to know what our listeners think. Do you feel the Islanders, do you think they know or aware that they're breaking the social trust, your word, I love your phrase, I'm going to keep giving you credit for that forever, of what a professional franchise means to an area? Do you think they know that?
I think they do. I think they do because of the example of this season.
Do you think they care?
No.
See, that's the ugliest part.
They do in an esoteric esoteric tense. They do in an esoteric sense because that's lost revenue.
Right.
That's a lost fan base.
So in other words, I'm losing money. I know I'm messing up.
Yep.
But not. I'm losing fans.
They're losing dollars, and they've been seeing that for years. Ever since they floated the Kansas City thing. And you can look in their media dealings.
Right.
And no disrespect to whoever's covering them now. I'm an alumnus of 88.7 FM Radio Hofstra University. And I am proud of them for what they accomplished with that team.
Right.
But when in the span of 3 years you go through three radio stations.
All college stations.
Not just that. Well, that's in New York City.
Right.
They had a main hub in Long Island Radio.
Okay, they did. All right.
It wasn't us.
Okay, gotcha.
In that year that we had them, you know, where we were working.
Right.
We were simulcasting.
Okay, gotcha.
They bounced between three radio stations. Oddly enough, I've worked at three of those radio stations.
I think that's batting 100.
Yeah, that is. And they are lucky that they had a TV deal. They are lucky that they had a signed, sealed, delivered TV deal.
Bootsy Collins, commissioner of NHL.
I'm fine with this. We've discussed this before on the old show. Bootsy Collins for commissioner.
I know this is a podcast, and I know a lot of people think we have it scripted. We have everything, and we don't. We pretty much get our topics. We do our research. We lock stuff down. We come in, and then we try to talk as guys would speak amongst guys, and people would speak amongst people who care about sports and care about teams.
It's two guys eating Chinese food and having a conversation.
Well, that was Chinese food?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. Thought it was Italian. Yeah, I don't feel so good. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. You have a league that is a professional league that is sixth place in the country. First, NFL. Would you say?
Yeah, of course.
Second?
NBA.
NBA, okay.
MLB's third. NASCAR is fourth.
You think MLB is third? I would say NASCAR is third.
It switches back and forth.
Okay, I can go with that.
Because I think there's more of a sustainable audience in baseball.
Golf, fifth.
Yes. Then hockey and then MLS.
You think? You know what? I think college ball.
Well, college ball is its own thing.
I hate to count the Final Four.
College sports is its own culture, its own thing.
Absolutely right. It does. Outside of the South.
Yeah.
Right. Because I had a flashback of like being in Atlanta. And in Atlanta radio, there's one Atlanta station that has to do a segment on the Braves and a segment on the Falcons because none of the regular sports talk people will talk professional sports. They only talk Georgia Tech, University of Georgia, Clemson, Florida, Alabama, Auburn. They only talk college sports during the season, which means football 12 months out of the year, basketball 9 months out of the year, and football the other 12 months out of the year. They have to bring in people to do segments for the Hawks, the Braves, the Falcons. They have to bring in people to do 15-minute segments because nobody, even when the Falcons make it to the playoff, you know what they're talking about? Georgia's got to get a good offensive line next year. There's one kid down in Kenneration, Louisiana. He's 6'9", 375 pounds. Boy, I saw that boy eat a whole chicken. He didn't take out the feathers. I swear to God, he looks so good. I got to get that boy on my team. If Georgia don't sign him, thank you, caller, it's going to be a disaster. And that's what they talk about. And the Falcons are trying to play for a shot to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, there's our shot of getting on Atlanta radio.
It's done. And our names didn't help either.
You know? Oh, yeah. That is a problem.
Even though now I'm in Denver, I think I'm a Mormon. You're in Denver. I think I'm a Mormon now. Yeah. So, you know, here you have this thing where.
Oh, yeah. You are in Utah.
I'm in Utah, baby. All hell Mormonism. So you have this thing where. We see these guys that own these franchises and running these leagues, and you just want to just say, don't you see what's going on out there? And the only thing I have to come close to this is this. At one point in college, I worked at Pizza Hut, and I won the chef of the year, the chef of the whatever award that you have to cook for people and people vote on who makes the best pizza. Boy, that's a trophy I love on my mantle. Anyway.
It's right up there with your Grammys.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it's right in front of the Grammy. Yeah, so there you go.
Wait, you actually have a Grammy?
Yeah, well, that's somewhere. Somebody.
What'd you win a Grammy for?
A few projects. Beth Williams' record won two. Terry Rushen's record won a couple.
How many Grammys do you actually own?
I refuse to buy any, so I don't own any.
Oh, wait, you have to
buy them, dude. Yeah, welcome behind the curtain. You don't get to keep that little trophy you take the picture with. Oh, you want that? That's $150. Yes. You want your name on? It's $175. We're charged by the letter. So employee only has one E. So here I am working with Pizza Hut, and so one of the gifts that they give you is you get a chance to work at the flagship store in Kansas City for 2 weeks.
Oh, because that's a big award.
Yeah, and it's awesome. So
is that at least during football season?
You know what? It's so sad. It was such a nightmare. I don't even remember what season it was. I think it was cricket. So my boss sent me there to Kansas City and told me, just do one thing for me, Marvin, please don't talk. Because I'm really shy, I don't speak my mind, I never say what I really think, and everybody who knows me knows that. Why are you laughing? Okay, there you go. So you guys know that I can't keep my mouth closed. That's why my show is called Gotta Say It. So here we go. The owner talked about how clean the stores always are and all this other stuff. And I just said, dude, you really want to know what your stores are like? Don't announce a visit. Don't tell the district manager. Don't tell the regional manager. Get in a Honda Civic and show up. You really get a chance to see what your stores are like. And what happens is it snapped him into reality of like, wow, that's what goes on when you're not coming. We know when you're coming. So we start to clean the floors. We start to wipe the windows. We start to make sure that there's no leftover gook on the cheese tray on the salad bar. When we don't know you're coming, that's what you're going to get. Unless you instill inside your entire firm and your entire company a sense of pride that it represents them. Starbucks does that great. Any owner at any point, and you know, I'm even a coffee guy, but you can walk in any Starbucks. You'll be hard pressed to find a losing Starbucks. Everyone has the right mentality. Everyone makes it work. You know, it's not like the Gap or Aéropostale or someplace like that where you walk into a place, nobody speaks to you. No matter what color you are, you walk into a Starbucks, they say hi. So we have this thing about America, corporate America, cultural America, whatever you want to call it, that sort of represents this idea of what we're supposed to be. And then you look at these owners of these franchises, and this guy, I hate to use the I word, so I don't want to say that. But who's advising him? Don't you see what you have now? The NHL could be so viable as a league, it could be so viable. You keep getting it wrong. Are you doing it on purpose? If you are, fine. Just say that. I'll stop talking right now. I promise you, I'll stop talking right now. And no, I don't know what you have to deal with behind the desk every
day. And it's a histrionics thing too, because if you read about the history of the NHL, everyone who sat in that chair, whether they're commissioner or president, has screwed that place up. It's by sheer luck that the WHA or another competitor didn't put them out of business.
Is the NHL the tax write-off league?
It could be. Because
I can't believe I just said that.
There's a lot of teams that care, and you can notice it.
I know the players care.
The team that I think cares the most, the Los Angeles Kings.
Really, really. Absolutely.
If you look at their social media, if you look at their fan base, if you look at how that team has been built over the past decade.
If they were in any other city.
They'd be the biggest thing in that
league. If they were in any other LA, who cares about anything in LA, right?
But they still manage to sell out.
Yes. The Dodgers couldn't sell out a playoff game.
You take all of the teams that don't matter in their city.
Right.
Anaheim doesn't count because they actually have a following.
Right. True.
But if you took Florida,
uh-huh.
You took Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know who else.
Wow. That's a serious thought.
You drop them in Quebec City and Seattle. Two places that are just, I didn't.
Hockey Central, baby.
Not even that.
Yeah, true. Not even that. You're right.
It's a zealot. Like fan base.
Right.
When the Nordiques were there.
Oh my goodness.
You couldn't, it was small, but it was something.
Don't outprice your market. What did we say earlier?
It's
don't outprice your market.
Don't outprice your market. Don't squander your market.
That's right.
Because you can make a lot of money now and then lose all of it later. Or you can just build and maintain and then rebuild. It's a cycle. It's not a straight line.
No.
It's not something that's linear. These things come in waves. Sports and success come in waves.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a rise. There's going to be a fall. But
Yankees, et cetera.
How you react to that fall and how you recoup from that fall.
Tells you about your character. Tells you about your organization. Tells you about your mentality. Tells you about your fortitude.
Tells you about the culture you create.
Bingo. Speaking of culture, thank you for listening to Gotta Say It Cast. Here, episode number 658,445.
Eight.
Or eight. Debbie Downer. You can follow us at GottaSayItRadio.webs.com. Tweet us. We love being tweeted. Stop smiling. At Gotta Say It Radio. Guido, put on some pants. And email the show at GottaSayItRadio@gmail.com. Along with Matthew Aloysius, Octavius Orenthal, Ryan the third, a half, and a 14th, and a fifth.
Let's go Seattle.
I'm the Yankee Clipper, Marvin Williams. No, I'm not. I'm Marvin Williams. And I thank you for listening, and we hope to see you in the cybersphere soon. Because we... go. Let's get together and raise it.
Let's get together. This has been a presentation of the GSI Radio Network.